So continuing. So yesterday, what we did was we outlined the Rambam's basic description of Shas, right? Six halakim, six topics. Each of those is broken down into subtopics. We should call Masechta. Each Masechta is broken down into subtopics. But the next point that the Rambam makes is that not only are the is there a logic to the siddurim, right, to the orders of Mishnah, but that there's an internal logic to the order of Masechtot in each siddur. Right, so that's what we were. So that's where we're going to pick up, and that's where we're going to start to get the sort of the idea, the theme of Masechet Avodah Zarah. So why don't we start here at Mem Chet? Max, why don't you take it? Start. Mem Chet. Yeah, it's. Oh, so that's right. That's Achar Kach.
Achar Kach, Halek. Ha-Emar. Mimar.
First sheet. Right word.
Ha-Nas. Ikan. Echolach. Misfotach. Ha-Rishana. Rishishi.
Shoshach-Halakim.
Shoshach-Halakim. Unan. Vit-Ha-Rit-Tituo.
Vit-Hil. Right.
Vivo.
Bava-Kama.
Bava-Kama.
Nizikin. Right, so he says, so the Rambam says what? He says, after he divided Nizikin, right, damages. So he starts off with Bava Kama, right, the three Bava. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra. What do they talk about? What's Nizikin? Damages. And then he gives examples. Shor, Bor, Hefer, right, Bor is, Shor is, Shor is. But yeah, so it's at, right, damages from an animal, boar, good, exactly, boar is right, a pit, right, if you create a damaging situation, hever is a fire, v'din achovel and damages and the like, and then if you skip to Memtet, right, Memtet he says, and then there's Bava Metzia, right, this I'll summarize outside, right, Memtet he says there's Bava Metzia, and in Bava Metzia, it deals with claims and with rental agreements and laws of borrowing and guardians and things like that, stewardship. And then in Nun, he says, and then in Bava Basra, you deal with real estate laws, both in terms of acquisition of real estate, in terms of rentals, in terms of squatting laws, and the like. Okay, right, so... So once you open Nizikin, it starts with the three Bavas, which basically deal with tort law, with damage law, with real estate law, with all what we call monetary law, okay? But then we get to Sanhedrin. So who wants to take over at Nun Aleph?
Nun Aleph?
Nun Aleph. Yeah, there we go. Take it right down.
Okay,
Kashidin. Say Kashidin. What? Ukshahu. Wait, where are you?
Kushodia.
Yeah,
Kushodia in Hodin. Hatishin Doval Al Hidin.
Hadayanin.
Hadayanin. Gozri. Hat Axiros. Hadayanin. Ham.
Ahem.
Ahem. The Sodo Achav.
Acha Bava Basra.
Okay.
Sanhedrin.
Tevas, yeah?
What? Rashi Teva. Yeah, Bava Basra, so Sanhedrin. So what is it? What does that mean?
So we're talking about Avodah Zarah and that.
We haven't gotten to Avodah Zarah yet.
Yeah. So that Sanhedrin is.
Is after what? Right after Hadinin. What's Dinin?
Huh?
What is Dinin? Yeah, the judgment, the laws.
Yeah.
Right, meaning the Rambam says the order to Nizikin is logical. The first three Masechtot, right, the Bavas, deal with the content of the law. And Sanhedrin deals with?
Not
the actual laws. That's Bavas. Yeah, the judgment, right, the judges, the adjudication of the laws. Right, which is logical. And then he says, okay, then he continues, and he said, so if we, I brought a Mishnah, right? So if you just look at the Masechtot, right, so you have Sanhedrin, right, and then you have, in ours, you have Makot, Shvuot, Idiot, Avodah Zarah, and some it's Avodah Zarah, Idiot, whatever. Order is a bit different, but that's not the point. Right? So he says, so after Sanhedrin, you have Makot. Why Makot? Shimon, why Makot? I'm going to say it outside, right? I need read it. Say it, whatever
because
you prefer.
Similar in what they talk about.
Yes. Right, why is it similar? Why is Makot similar?
Because everything is, he puts in order of similar.
Right, and why is Makot similar to Sanhedrin? Yeah, it's punishment. It continues, right? Sanhedrin talks about judgment and punishment, and Makot continues that theme, right? Yeah.
It doesn't really refer, it only says that he organized Sanhedrin. Why does the Mishnah really refer to the Sanhedrin below him?
What do you mean?
You wrote in number 3, the Mishnah that you referred to Sanhedrin are below. Oh, okay, fine.
Are below. Yeah, are below. We'll get them.
I read it wrong. I thought you meant the Sanhedrin.
No, or below, like physically, below on the sheet.
I thought you meant the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I misunderstood it.
Yeah. No, that's all the different
sentences. Now I said it out loud, it makes sense.
All those are, it is true that all the Sanhedrins and courts below them are in Sanhedrin, but that was not what I meant here. So Makot continues on Sanhedrin because it continues with punishments, right? Sanhedrin opens punishment, and then Makot continues. It talks about Malkos, like Malkos, right? It talks about lashes and the like. And then we have Shavuos. Now, what's Shavuos? What does Shavuos talk about?
The laws of holiday.
No, so that would be, right, that would be the holiday. But Shavuot, right?
Vows.
Right, vows. Not Shavuot, but Shavuot, right? But vows. There's this weird custom. So there's this weird custom which comes from that, right? That people, a lot of people learn Masechet Shavuot between Pesach and Shavuot because it has... They're like, oh, it's about Shavuot, and it has the right number of dapim, because it ends in daf mem tet, right? So it's 49 dapim, you can, not really, it's 48, but whatever, another point, right? 49 dapim, you can learn on Svira, except they have nothing to do with each other, because Shavuot is about vows, and Shavuot is, well, not. It's about weeks. But Shavuot goes after words why, right? Right? Because he says, vows are another thing that... When, right, vows, what is the classic case of vows where you can actually, what's the classic case? In what context? In court. Right, think about it, right? I swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Right, as you would say in an American court. I don't, what would you say in Belgium?
So I don't know really what's the difference in the system.
Okay.
You do swear, there's no crime.
Differently. What? There's no crime in Belgium. Yeah, nothing.
They just but, throw waffles at each other.
But he says, right, in court you adjure someone, right? You make them swear. So there's a so Shavuot goes after that. Okay? So now he says, so let's skip now down to Nun Hei. So now let's come to Avodah Zarah. Right? So the Rambam says, okay, so you have Nezikin. So it starts off with the content of the laws, right? The three bavas. Then it's Sanhedrin, which deals with adjudication, right? Who are the judges? How do they judge? What are the punishments? Makot, which is an expansion, and Shavuot, which deals with, right, a sort of a detail within the court system. How do you right make someone swear? Yeah.
Why does he have to go so in depth? I don't understand. Couldn't you just say these are the reasons and then just like give a small explanation?
Well, because the Rambam wants to go through, he wants you to understand that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right, organized the Mishnayot with extreme intentionality, right? Meaning it's not random, right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi took all of Torah and organized it very logically, right? He's trying to build, right? So the Rambam, this is the Rambam's thesis, right? You're right, you could deny this thesis, but the Rambam is very, very sold on this. Right? The Rambam is very convinced. But now the Rambam has a problem. Right, the Rambam has a problem, which is now you reach our Masechta, right, Avodah Zarah. And the question is, why is it here? Right, I get it, right? Until now, there's a logical order. Content of law, adjudication of law, right? And then
It's not spoken to exactly in the Torah, right?
What?
Yeah, I remember reading it. I read it.
Oh, you mean in Nash? Yeah, there's stuff in the middle there that you, I know you read through that's not actually here. But why is Avodah Zarah here? What? So here it's in some it's Adiot, but here in his order it's Shavuot and then Avodah Zarah. There are a little bit of different orders. But why Avodah Zarah? So that's where we are. So this is the bolded part, Nun Hei. Right? So what does he say? Who wants to take this? Take it away.
Okay,
where are you?
He's he's reading in
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, no. Nun Hei, right? The end of the Rambam here. Akum, right? Akum. Of Dei Kol Chavim Mazalot. Or Avodat Kol Chavim Mazalot.
Or worship idolaters. Lefi Sheini Sheinina.
Inyana.
Inyana. Davar Mukra. Leshofet Sheyadeno.
Sheyadeno. Right, so what does he say? After you finish this, we talk about idolatry. Why?
Because she
So inyana, it's topics, right? Inyan, right? A topic. So inyana, right? It's topics. Mukhrach is right. Essential. Sheyadeno is necessary for a what's a shofet? A shofet. Shofet. A judge. Sheyadeno. What's Yedeno?
That
he knows it. Right? Why? Yeah. Right? Why is it important for a judge to know about idolatry?
Yeah,
how to judge it? Right? This is what I said to Shimon before. Right? And this is what he says. Right? What happens? The law is, as we'll see, you're only liable for worshiping Avodah Zarah if you either worship it through one of the four Avodot, right? The four objective Avodot we use in the Beit HaMikdash, or in the normal way that the idol is served. So if someone comes in and he says, two witnesses come in and they say to a judge, look, we saw Reuven, he threw rocks at an idol. And we warned him, and now he's liable to the death penalty. So the judge will have to say, well, what idol was it? Right? Was it Marcolis? Right? Marcolis, let's say Mercury. It may not be Mercury, but let's say Mercury.
Oh, that's what
right? Correct. So if it's Marcolis, right? Let's say it's Mercury. The way of worshiping Mercury, right? The god Mercury was by throwing rocks at it, right? So or piling rocks, whatever exactly it was, right? Something to do with rocks, right? So if he said, well, he did this rock worship with Marcolis, with Mercury, so you'd say, okay, so he's liable to death penalty. But if he did it to Aphrodite, right? Or he did it to Jupiter, or he did it to whatever. Of course, if he did it to Hermes, he'd still be liable, and that's not the point, right? Because Mercury is Hermes, right? We got that? No?
We have a lot of very interesting information.
No, we don't know. Everything. You don't know the Greek to Roman conversion?
I mean, I think
Mercury is Hermes, Mars is Aries, Venus is Aphrodite. Is Athena, rather. Venus is Athena.
I thought Venus is Aphrodite.
Is it Aphrodite or Athena? I think it's Athena.
It's
one of the other.
This isn't even history. This is what? Not mythology or
what? What? Jupiter is Zeus.
No. I
guess. No, whatever. Yeah, I know. Jupiter is Zeus.
Yeah,
Jupiter
is
Zeus.
Venus is
I think it's either Aphrodite or Athena.
So
whatever.
Poseidon?
What?
Poseidon.
Neptune.
That I knew.
Why do I know this? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happened to this. Fine, it's not the point.
Yeah,
not the point.
I'm very curious why you know that. Like,
I'm a wellspring of randomness.
Do you read like lots of books?
I read a lot of books.
I
do.
Library at your house?
Yes. The week before we came back, I went to the library. I took a pile of 14 books. My wife took a picture. She's like, "We're leaving in a week, right?" And there wasn't all was 14 books. A few were kids' books. It was 9 adult books. I took it out on a, I don't know. Before we left, I had read 5 of them, right? I'd read 5, and one of them I decided I didn't want to read. Like, I'd read enough of it to know I didn't enjoy it and put it down, right?
I like reading. John Sterling Steele?
No.
You would like
it. Okay, lend it to me, and maybe I'll read it. I'm in the middle of a book now, but...
It's 2,000
pages. So what's that, maybe
what?
Like 4 days? Less? 3?
Depends how fast I read.
Did you
I do like reading.
Tolstoy.
I have read some of Tolstoy. I love Tolstoy, but yeah.
Right.
Anyways, okay. So let's get to Avodah Zarah. So at some point we can have a reading group. Okay, we can have a reading group. We can sit down. We can read. I don't know, whatever you want. Okay, fine. In honor of Bereshis, we can read Paralandra and have fun.
What?
Paralandra. No, not Paralandra. No idea.
What is that?
Paralandra is the second volume in C.S. Lewis's sci-fi trilogy, which is a sci-fi commentary on Parshas Bereishis, which dovetails the Netziv's Perish on Bereishis. It's quite cool. Anyways, if you're into very funky stuff. Okay, so Avodah Zarah, why? So why is it here? So the Rambam says it's very simple. The judge needs to know it. He was, yeah, I love it. Maybe we'll do a little bit of C.S. Lewis before Rosh Hashanah. I love C.S. Lewis. V'az yesh shalem, he continues, v'az yesh shalem, k'sheidan mimusei avodot ahem v'chukotehem. And then he'll be complete, right? When he knows, mimusei avodot, right? What's a nimus? Nimus is really the conventions, the practices, their laws, v'macha tzarich aleihem, v'az yedah heich yadin aleha, and then he'll know how to judge it. Ki kol mi she'avod la'kochav, shabtai, ba'avodat kochav noga, because if anyone worships what shabtai,
is that
no, way off historically there, shabtai tzvi is, right? What? Shabtai is just Saturn. Right, Shabtai is Saturn, right? Noga is, I believe, Venus, right? Right? I think, right? The morning star, right?
What's Nimus say?
Yeah, the conventions, the practices, right? So he says, because if someone worships Saturn the way he's supposed to worship Venus, I think that's what it is. I think that got right. If I'm wrong, big deal. But I think that's what it is. Oit palel kochav tzedek b'tfilat madim, or if he davens to tzedek, I forget which zodiac that one is, and madim is Mars. Eino chayv mita, you're not liable for the death penalty. Kemo sheba kabbalah brura v'niach zo masechet lachrona l'fishal yikrein yon akum elav achad minei elef le'amim rechokim. And he says, so why is it last? Right, if Avodah Zarah is part of that continuum, Sanhedrin, Makot, Shavuot, Avodah Zarah, so why is it last of the four? He says, because it's not so practical. How often does adultery actually happen amongst Jews? So we put it last. Or in 1,000 cases, right? Achas min elef is 1 in 1,000 cases. No, it's last of this unit. Right? He's saying of this unit, right? Meaning, he's saying, so how does the Rambam conceptualize Nizikin? Well, the Rambam thinks, basically, what are the units?
It's not really, Nizikin isn't really, like, I guess, about damages as much as it is about judging.
Right, and how does it work? So he says, what are the units? There's the bavas, the three bavas, which is the content of the law. Right. And then there's Sanhedrin, Makot, Shvuot, Avodah Zarah, which is adjudication. Right? And then there's Adiot, a vote at the end. Right, which we'll get, you know, which we could get to a different time. Harios, but that's the Rambam. And Horios. Right, and Horios. Right? Yeah.
Something I've never understood is, why do we execute a Bava? Like, why did they execute a Bava?
Or no, for your shame.
Hold that thought. Okay?
I feel like we'd be a lot more effective to just be a really safe one.
Okay, hold that thought. Okay, I'm going to say hold that thought. What?
No,
hold. It's a great question. Hold the thought because it deserves a shiur in of itself. So let's. So let's. Okay. Let's hold the thought. It's a very good question. The question of penal theory. Okay. I'll regal acha, but we can make a whole shiur of this. Okay. In general,
we make exceptions for everything. Like, we don't. Like,
okay. So very, very quickly. Very, very quickly. Let me just get this out very quickly. Way too quickly. It doesn't deserve to be done this quickly, okay? In penal theory, right, there are several reasons why you punish people, right? One is what's called retributive theory, right? Retribution, which means that you punish people because they deserve it, right? They deserve it. Most Western philosophers now, as you note, endorse rehabilitation theory, right? The point of punishment is not to punish. It's not justice, it's not to exact justice, but it's to rehabilitate the criminal, right? Then there's deterrent theory, right? Which means that punishment is neither about fixing the individual criminal, nor about punishing them, but rather ensuring that future crimes don't happen, right? In religious law, there is a fourth category. This is pointed out in a long article by, I forget his first name, by Pritkin. That there's, in Jewish law, but in any religious law, you have atonement, right, which doesn't have a parallel in secular law, right, because atonement means, right, I'm doing it for the benefit of the sinner, but not necessarily in this world, right, like, I'm doing it so that his soul will be better off, which is not really rehabilitation or retribution, it's somewhere in between. Yeah, it's somewhere in between, it's not totally clear, right? Which one halacha believes in it? is not totally clear, but that's the first point. Right? The second point is that the death penalty was very rarely carried out. So when it is carried out, it may be accomplishing retribution, it may be accomplishing rehabilitation, but it may also exist on the books, even though it was very rarely carried out, either as a deterrent or as a fifth model, which is education, right? Sort of a subcategory of deterrent, right? Like telling people this is the type of crime for which you deserve the death penalty, even if we don't do it. And the last parak in the first parak, the last mission of the first parak of Makot, which is expanded on the Gemara in Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, notes that they only punish either once every 7 years, every 70 years. There's an excellent article by Gerald Blitzstein on the topic. You can go on, if you want, you can go online. You can see I have a shiur on the death penalty in Jewish law, or I can give it here at some point, but not today. Okay, that's the El Regel Achav version of what yeah.
It kind of sounds by this last part that if you have the intention of serving the Tzar, but you do it wrong, you're not
crying. Yes.
You still have the intention.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because crime, you're only liable if you commit the crime.
You did serve the Tzar.
Nope, you didn't serve it. It's not called service. That's the next year, though. Good? Okay. But hold that thought. That's the next year. The next year is how do you worship Avodah Zarah? We'll come to it, okay? It's a great question, but we'll see. So the Rambam thinks that Avodah Zarah is the continuation of Sanhedrin. Now, why does he think it's the continuation of Sanhedrin? So I gave you the seventh parak of Sanhedrin. The Mishnah just tells you, Ha'oved Avodah Zarah, Echad Ha'oved, Echad Ha'zoveach, Echad Ha'mekater, Echad Ha'menaseich, Echad Ha'mishtachav, Echad Ha'mekablo Alav Le'eloah. And one who worships Avodah Zarah. Now, what are all these? Ha'oved is worship, which the Gemara explains, kidarka, meaning in the normal way that you worship it. Zoveach is Zevach, Mizbeach. You sacrifice, right? You sacrifice. Mikater, Ktoret.
Yeah, writing.
No, Ktoret. Right? You said it this morning.
Daf?
What?
Daf?
No, Ktoret. Come on, this morning, davening. Or the end, pitum haktoret, right? You bring incense, right? Incense.
You brought incense?
What?
You brought incense this morning?
You read it, the pitum haktoret. Yeah, haminaseich, what's an isuch?
Wines.
Yeah, libations, right? You pour, right, religious liquids, mishtachave, bowing, mikablo olav lelawa, mikabel, to accept, right, or to take, alav on him, lelawa. As a god, right? You accept it as a god. Ha'omer lo eliata. You say to him, "You're my god." Aval amigafeif, aminashik, amechabed, amerabed, samarchit, sasach, amalbish, amaniel. But there's all other types of things. Which this comes to your point. You shouldn't do them, right? Hug, kiss, clean, rinse, anoint, clothe the idol, put on shoes. Over below Tasa. It's forbidden, but it's not the death penalty, because that's not full worship. Yeah.
No, that's only because we have exactly, you know, we have in Brussels, it's named Manifest, and we do all these things what we do, but it's not really idol as idolizing, it's just like a tourist attraction. Is it really idolizing?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
They do. They have clothes for the idol.
Yes, so don't do that. Don't put clothes on it. That's very bad. Right.
No, but is it an idolizing figure or not?
Oh, I don't know. It depends if it's an idol or not. Look, I mean, there's
just a Belgian version of American Girl doll.
I don't know. What? Of the what?
Like an American Girl
no.
doll.
No. It's a legend of somebody that's back in the...
This is like a statue or something?
It's a statue.
Yeah, no, I don't... This is... It's like an...
Is it really
this is full on Avodah Zarah.
Yeah. Like, anyone here from Baltimore?
No.
You're not from Baltimore. You were in Baltimore for a bit.
Really, yeah.
You know they have an idol at Johns Hopkins.
They don't pray at it. We
the turtle. They have a statue of a turtle at Johns Hopkins that the minhag is that before finals they like bring libations to it. It's like straight out death penalty of Avodah Zarah. Like straight out.
It's not that they do pray or it or they give something to them. It's
more of a joke though.
It's more like a tourist.
No, I mean at a certain extent it's probably at this point become a thing where people are like.
Yeah, they like sacrifice the to the turtle. Yeah, not a good idea.
Is it a thing
of
its own? I don't know. It might be.
That's weird.
Because they don't pray.
Even if it's like non.
But they. Hey, you have to look into it. I don't know.
Why doesn't it mention like
hearing? So it does. Continuing, so he does say, right? If you continue the line, he says, "I know, dear Bishmoa, making Bishmoa, you if you vow in the name of an idol, over below." To say again, it's prohibited, but not the death penalty. Ha'por atzmo v'al pa'or. But if it's pa'or, which is the Torah tells us the way you worshipped it was by defecating. So if you defecate by Pa'or, Zohi Avodaso, that is the normal way of worshiping it, and you get put to death. Hazor given Lamarcolis, Zohi Avodaso, and if you throw whatever it is, whatever you do with the rocks for Mercury, so then you are liable. And then it continues, Hazor Mizar Lamolech. What? Yeah, so you get the death penalty. Okay, good. So, and then the Mishnah continues and gives others, Molech and the like. So the Rambam, now if I ask you, okay, we've seen all of this. So now, what is, according to the Rambam, what is the theme of Avodah Zarah, the Masechet of Masechet Avodah Zarah?
The idea, because,
so what is the theme?
What to do.
A little bit more. It's not what to do. It's not the punishment. That's the point of the Masechet. What's the theme? To be very careful.
Correct punishment.
No, that's not the theme, that's the point. Right, that's the goal. What's the theme?
What
Avodah Zarah are there? Right? Meaning the point is that it's the end of Sanhedrin. It's you need to know how to punish people who worship Avodah Zarah. But in order to know how to punish someone who worships Avodah Zarah, you need to know what is Avodah Zarah. Right?
What kind of means do you mean, like Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, well, that's what it means, right? What is Avodah Zarah? How do you worship it? All that stuff, right? That's, yeah. Right, for the Rambam, that's the theme of Avodah Zarah, of the Masechta, right? It's a coda, as it were, to Sanhedrin, right? And it tells you what is Avodah Zarah such that you can judge someone. Okay. Now, I think Tosfot disagrees. I think Tosfot disagrees, so I want to do a close read with you, okay? The first Tosfot in the Masechta, you can either open a Gemara, but for the first topic, I figured I'd be nice to you and I'd copy it for you. But after this, I am not copying for you anything that is in the Gemara. Anything that you can find in this Gemara, you will open a Gemara and you will find it. But fine, for the first year. First Tosfos in the Masechta also wants to know why is Avodah Zarah where it is in the order of Nezikin. So what does Tosfos say? Who wants to take Tosfos?
What?
Take it away.
The first one.
Right? Lifnei Eidehen, right? Right, first Tosfos in the Masechta. Okay, fine. But Basar or Batar, whatever you want to do it. You can do it. Ashkenaz, Sfaradid, I don't care. Yeah. Fine. So Batar Detani Sanhedrin. So what's Batar? Batar in Aramaic is after.
After.
Detani
Sanhedrin,
the ruling. Detane that we taught, meaning Mishnaically taught, that we taught Sanhedrin.
The Iri,
what's Iri?
What?
Oved. Oved, yeah. Oh, it's Iri. Yeah, it should be on it. Yeah, right. After we learn Sanhedrin, the Iri ba Oved Kochavim Mazalot that deals with
planets.
Yeah, right. I mean, worship of these stars and planets. Right. Right, Tana Nami, they also taught, right? We also have the Mishnah, Leha.
Leha,
to this, right? Leha, to this, Masechet. Right?
The
Avodah Zarah.
Beseder
Yeshuot.
The order of.
Okay, that's referring to Gemara and Shabbos, right? That Nezikin is called Seder Yeshuot. I don't want to get into that now, but fine. That's what it's called, Seder Yeshua. It's in Ezekiel, okay? Yeshua's, yeah. The Shaychi B'Sanhedrin, which
comes after
Shaychi, right? They relate to. The Shayach, they're connected to.
Sanhedrin, they connect to Sanhedrin.
Lahachi, right, for that reason, Tani Lahu,
we teach
them,
right,
Batar Sanhedrin. Good. But
after
came
the
Sidro, okay. So what does Tosfos say? Why does Tosfos say Masechet Avodah Zarah is where it is? In what sense? Be careful. Is that what he said?
didn't implicate that.
He did not say that. I saw someone argue that Tosfos says the same as the Rambam, but I don't think it's right. Let's be very careful. What does he say? He says, why is Avodah Zarah after Sanhedrin? Does he say it's a continuation?
No.
What does he say?
It has to do with similar.
It has to do with similar things.
Right.
But are they conceptually related?
No.
How do I know they're not conceptually related for Tosfot?
Doesn't it say it's
not in it?
Well, no, before that. Because what does he say is conceptually related to Sanhedrin? Makar and Shavuot. I mean, what does he say? He says Sanhedrin started talking about idolatry. So by associative thinking, once you're talking about idolatry, you can talk about idolatry. So then he says, so why isn't Avodah Zarah immediately after Sanhedrin?
Because
Makar and Shavuot are actually content-wise similar to Sanhedrin.
Right.
So which means that what's the Rambam tell? What is Tosfot implying about Avodah Zarah?
That it's not.
Right? That it's not. Right? Because he says...
What do you mean by that?
Right, I mean, what does he say? Right, it's right. This is an implication.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he says, by associative thinking. Right, what's associative thinking? Right, right. Meaning, I'm talking about something, so I start talking about it in a different context.
Meaning,
they're not actually connected.
Yeah.
Right, but I started talking about idolatry, so I continue talking about idolatry.
Yeah. So
right. So he says. So that's why Avodah Zarah is after Sanhedrin. But because of
association.
Because of association. But he says, then why isn't it before Makor and Shavuot?
What's the whole shtick?
So he says, so what does he say? So why isn't it after Makor and Shavuot? Why is it after Makor and Shavuot? Because what are Makor and Shavuot? Why are they after Sanhedrin? Because they're actually related. So the Rambam says, what happened? Sanhedrin's about law, adjudicating law. Makot is about punishment. Shavuot is about vows in court. Though that's a conceptual unit. Once we finish that, then we got to figure out what goes next. So what do we do?
We
don't have anything conceptually linked. What do we have?
We have something that,
associative. It talks about a topic that's related, like vaguely.
But that's not
the Rambam says.
What's considered as what is our enemy?
So that's why I think Tosfos is not saying the same as them. Because what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says...
He's saying that we have something that's just kind of like connected because we talked about it.
Exactly.
The Rambam saying it has to actually do
it. Exactly. Right? The Rambam says no. There's a four Mesechta unit called Sanhedrin, Makot, Shavuot, Avodah Zarah.
Mm-hmm.
They're all about judging.
Right.
Right? Sanhedrin's about who are the judges, how do they judge. Makot is about a little bit more punishment. Shavuot is about how do you take vows in court. And Avodah Zarah is... what information you need to know if you want to judge a case about Avodah Zarah. So that's right. That's how the Rambam seems to understand it. Tosfot says, no. Tosfot said, what's the unit? Sanhedrin, Makot, Shavuot, and Avodah Zarah picks up because by association. Good.
Because you mean by association with other Gemaras?
Yeah. Meaning not. It's not like the same. It's just like. You know, they talk about similar things.
Yeah.
Right? But they're not, but it's not a unit, right? It's not part of Sanhedrin. Why does Tosfos say that? And why do I think Tosfos is different?
Is there a steer or not?
What?
Is that afterwards a steer or not?
I think it's a machlokas.
But
why? Why would Tosfos say it? Why would Tosfos say that Avodah Zarah is not a continuation of Sanhedrin?
It starts off talking about
well, here. I said, skim the Mishnayos of the entire Masechta. I actually meant that, right? But I don't think you did that.
We
didn't get up to that. So let me try with you, okay? Let's start this a little bit. First mission in the Masechta, right? You started it. What is the first mission of the Masechta about?
Yesterday you even mentioned that there's a lot going on in Avodah Zarah.
Correct. I said there's a lot going on in Avodah Zarah. What is going on? So first Mishnah, what's it about?
So the whole story is about... as we know, it's about Avodah Zarah and... The whole thing is if we are allowed to lend money to another person before his chag.
Exactly, right? The first Mishnah is about before the holidays of the non-Jews, are you allowed to lend the money, do business with them, because that might lead them to worship idols or something like that, right? That's the first Mishnah, the second Mishnah, right? And then the third Mishnah says, and what are their holidays? Okay, Kalandia, Saturnia, etc., right? Yeah, exactly. And then you continue, right? If I skip to the second perek, right? You aren't allowed to put animals in the non-Jewish pundak is a marketplace because we suspect that they'll commit bestiality. Right, that's the first. I mean, sleep with an animal.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's the first mission on the second parak. Okay, the third parak, or I continue here. Bet Zion, you're not allowed to drink milk that was milked by a non-Jew without a Jew seeing it. Third, right? The third parak deals with what? That's Chol of Stam. Well, not Chol of Stam. It's Chol of Akum. Right, Chol of Akum, not Chol of Stam. We'll get there. Chol of Akum is milk that was milked by a non-Jew when a Jew didn't see it, which is therefore not kosher on a rabbinic level, right? Chol of Stam doesn't exist. It's not a thing. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. Chol of Yisrael is milk that you can drink because a Jew did see it being milked. Chol of Stam is how people shorthand refer to Moshe Feinstein's Chuvot, which he says nothing of the sort.
So
that's not the point.
Chol of Stam is like Chol of Akum?
No, that's exactly what it's not. Right? That's what they do in Israel, and it's wrong. Right? In Israel, if something is Chol of Stam, yeah, right, they write Chol of Akum or Chol of Nachri. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's argument, and maybe we'll give shear on this and get to it, Rav Moshe Feinstein's argument is that Chol of Stam, or what he calls Chol of Companies, right, is Chol of Yisrael. Right? From a halachic perspective, it is Chol of Yisrael.
So how are we allowed to eat Hershey's?
No, because he says Chol of Stam is Chol of Yisrael.
But it's not washed.
He says from a... No, it's not. But he thinks it... Halachically, it's considered as if it was.
Why?
We'll get to it. You want to do the sugya of Chol of Yisrael? We'll get to Chol of Yisrael. It's a beautiful sugya. I'm happy to do it. It's in the Masechta. Okay? That's what I tell people. People ask me if I keep Chol of Yisrael. I say yes. They say, you mean you don't have Hershey's? I say, no, of course I do. I just think it's Chol of Yisrael. I'm like, and they're like, but it's not. I said, look, I actually read Rav Moshe Feinstein's Chuvo. You didn't. It's not my problem. Like,
so,
yeah.
What's the difference of Chol of Akum?
We'll get to it. In the Gemara, there are only two categories.
Can you go vice versa? If you keep Chol of Yisrael, can you eat Chol of Stam?
I only have Chol of Yisrael. I just think that everything is Chol of Yisrael in America. Okay. Shine.
Weiter.
We'll come to it. We'll get to it. Don't worry, I'll prove it to you later. I'll explain to you, or I'll show you what emotion means. Okay.
Can I call my dad for that conversation?
Sure, you can Skype it, for all I care. You can Skype it for this year. I'm happy. Okay, anyways. Third parak is what do you do if you find idols? Okay? Or if you find a statue, rather. How do you figure out whether it's an idol or not?
Well, what kind of sort of idols?
Oh, it's not about power.
No, so if you... But this is not about worshipping. This is about whether you're allowed to keep it.
Yeah, but...
So the Gemara says, how do you know whether something's an idol or a statue? That's the third parak. The third parak, well, it depends. If it's this, if it depends where it is, what city it's in, is it in a town, what does it look like, etc. Fourth parak is similar. Fifth parak is about Yayin Esach. Is wine that was poured by a non-Jew. Right? That's the fifth parak. Right? Those are the five prakim of Avodah Zarah. So if you just skim quickly the Mishnayot in the Masechta, how many of the Mishnayot in the Masechta have to do with what the Rambam said?
Not many.
Virtually none, right? That's bad enough. The Mishnah is bad enough, right? The Gemara is worse, right? Because the Gemara... Really, I could have told you skim the whole Masechta, but that wasn't happening, right? The Gemara, in addition, the first six blot of Avodah Zarah is, you started looking at it, what's the beginning of Avodah Zarah? After we get into Adayan, what exactly is their holidays? We have several blot of Agadata. You know what the Agadata is about? Right?
Yes, it's the analyzing of the commentary.
What? No, so the Agadata, the beginning of it. What Agadata is the non-halachic part. So the first few blot, the first few dapim of Avodah Zarah is an Agadata. Right? What Agadata has come up there? So if you look, the non-Jews rejected the Torah and the Jews rejected the Torah. That story. And then there's a daf about what's going to happen in the time of Mashiach. That the non-Jew is going to come and say to God, it's not fair. Right? It's not fair. Why do you favor the Jews? Right? And Hashem will say to them, well, because they kept the Torah. And he said, well, we also did all these good things. Right? Or we want an opportunity to keep the Torah. So Hashem says, fine, I'll let you keep a mitzvah. See how you do with it. And he gives them sukkah, and then he makes it really hot. and it's too hot, so they leave the sukkah and they kick the sukkah on the way out, so God says, ha, you're going to hell. Right? That's the end, that's whatever. Like, that's the beginning of a desire. Right? Okay, whatever. So that's what, right, all these
like
arguments.
Or like, oh yeah, we'll get you a pet, but first take care of goldfish.
Yeah, exactly, right? So so that's the beginning. And then you have you continue, right? You go on different places, you know, later on in the Perek, it has a discussion of some of the people who were killed during the Roman period, right? Some of those stories, right, of the Roman oppression. And in terms of the Gemara, right, you have a whole discussion about kashrus, right? The later prakim, some of the central halachot about kashrus are later, especially
kind of source of kashrus.
Kashrus.
In general?
Yeah. In addition to all the Machalei Akum, right? Obviously, there's an expansion of Machalei Akum, right? Chalav Akum, Pas Akum, all that stuff. But there's also, at the end of the Masechta, just kashrus. Bittul, kalim, kashering, right? All that stuff is later, right? What happens if you buy a kli, if you buy a vessel, a pot from a non-Jew? How do you kasher it? Right? That's all the end of the Masechta. What?
You go to...
Mikvah,
yeah. No, not mikvah, not tefillah, right? Koshering, right? Well, those are two different things. Those are two different things, right? Anything you buy from a non-Jew, you have to be tovel,
yeah.
Right? Whether it was used or not, right? But if it was used, you also have to kosher it. You have to remove the non-kosher stuff from it,
yeah.
Right? Which, kibolo kach polto, right? As it went in, it comes out. If it's something that's used with fire, so you have to torch it, right? You have to use libun. If it was used with water, you have to boil it out.
Just yeah, like, so if you have an apartment, you rent from a goy, so you have to warm it out with a kettle. And
if you rent stuff from a goy, you have to kosher it, but you don't have to tovel it. You don't have to tovel it. Right, I had two years ago, I was a scholar in residence at Princeton for Shabbos, Princeton University. That was fun. We stayed at a brilliant guy. He's a professor at Hebrew U of theoretical mathematics. He's like 35 or something. He was like a tenured professor at like MIT or something. He was like 20 or something. He was like one of these super geniuses. He went to like the Advanced Institute of Princeton before his 20th birthday. Fine. What? So he's a tenured professor at Hebrew U. So he was on sabbatical in Princeton for a year at the Institute. You know the Institute? The Institute for Advanced Studies at Princeton was an institute, is a research institute that was set up for Einstein. Right? It was to pay the smartest people in the world to sit. It's basically kollel for scientists and philosophers. Yeah, is right. University of Rit is in Herzofim and Givat Ram, the two campuses in Yerushalayim. Yes, Bar Ilan's a different institution. That's in Givat Shmuel. So he said that he's also a big Talmud Chacham. So he said when he came to Princeton, the institute, the Chacham of the institute it's mamish like Kollel, right? If they provide everything for you, give you a house, they give you a stipend, they give you everything so that you can be free to think all day. Right, just think about chachma. Right, think about wisdom. So he said he got off the plane, and they bought him new dishes because he said it was kosher. But they own it, so he said it was great. He didn't even have to tovel it. Right, he got his brand new dishes, and it's owned by a guy. Right, you're allowed to. It's only when you buy it from a guy that you need to tovel it. But if it still belongs to the guy, you don't have to tovel it. Right, you're allowed to eat something that doesn't have tefillah. It's just you can't eat something. That from something that belongs to a Jew that used to belong to a non-Jew. But if it currently belongs to a non-Jew, you don't need tefillah. Anyways, but what's the problem, right? Just by throwing out a quick survey of the Masechta.
Is wrong about it saying,
what do you, like, what is it? Right? You could tease it out, right? The Rambam will say, well, you could tease it out. And the other stuff comes by association. But it's a problem, right? The symbol... Right, that's not, you look at the Masechta, that's not what it is. It's not just a laundry list of the laws of Avodah Zarah. It's just not.
You get the laws from this thing.
What?
You get the laws from
this. Yes, you could squeeze it. But I think the reason Tosfos says that it was only associative to a vote to Sanhedrin is because he looked at it. What are you talking about? And the Meiri note this as well. Right, if you look at number 6, so in Vav here, right, Vav, in the VI, right, 6. Right, in Roman numerals here, right? The Meiri, right? So the Meiri has these very helpful things. At the beginning of every Masechta and the beginning of Shas, he is super organized and he gives you these helpful hagdamot and overviews of Masechta. So I gave you two passages from the Meiri, and this is what he says. Okay, the first piece is from his hagdamot of Shas. Right, his introduction to Shas. And the Miri, who's Miri, by the way? What's his name? No. It's Menachem Mishpachat. Mishpachat HaMi'iri. Why is his name Mi'iri, by the way? No, it's not an acronym. In this case, it's actually Mishpachat Mi'iri. So he's from, where is he from? Bit of Jewish history here. Where is he from? He's from Provence. What's Provence? Yeah, southern France. It was a different legal country in the medieval period. Now, what were the two major cities in Provence in the medieval period?
Marseille.
So it actually wasn't. I mean, Marseille is important. It's an important city, but there were two main cities where Jews lived. Marseille, they also lived there. Narbonne and Lunel. Narbonne and Lunel. Yeah, I'm saying in the time of the Rishonim, it was Narbonne and Lunel. Marseille also was important, but primarily Narbonne and Lunel. What do Narbonne and Lunel mean? Come on, you're European. What do they mean? What
do they mean in French?
In English, yeah. If I translate it into English, what do they mean? What's Lunel?
So Lunel is so in French. You say if you take away the L, it's a lune, it's a moon.
Perfect! It's the moon. What's Narbonne? What's Narbonne?
Wait. I don't know.
It's the sun. I don't know the French, what it comes from.
Soleil.
Yes, I don't know how it comes from sun, but whatever it is. Okay. Right? Somehow it means sun. I don't really know. I don't know the French. Right? The two major cities where Jews lived in Provence were the sun and the moon. Right, and therefore, there was this thing in Provence that everyone had names that related to light. So Meiri is, right, Meir means to enlighten, right? The Baal HaMaor, right, who's the Baal HaMaor? Baal HaMaor is Reb Zerachia Halevi, right? His name is Zerachia, right, which means, no, Zayin Reish Chet. Shine, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And his book is called, why is he called the Baal HaMaor? Because he wrote a commentary on the Rif, which on Nashim Nezikin is called HaMaor HaGadol, and on Moed is called HaMaor HaKatan. What's HaMaor HaGadol? Which is the sun. And HaMaor HaKatan, the moon. Everything in Provence, right? Everything in Provence is light-oriented. Moon, except for who's the big Talmud Chacham in Provence who does not live in Narbonne or Lunel? Instead, he lives on a beautiful mansion estate where he has his own private kolel because he was phenomenally rich. The Raifid. Right? Like the Raifid on the Rambam? Yeah? So he lives in Poskiers. Right? And a huge mansion in Poskiers. And he didn't have to live where everyone else lived because he was rich. So he just invited people to live on his estate. And that was how he had a yeshiva. Fine. Anyways, Jewish history for you. Meiri. So Meiri in his Hakdamah LeShas writes as follows. Amnam, Sidura Masechtiot Shebeseder Nizikin Ayera Biraui Lahatchil B'Masechet Sanhedrin. He said, you should have started Nizikin with Sanhedrin. V'hu, why would you do that? Shebetchilat Kol Tvi'a. Okay, read it with me. Shebetchilat Kol Tvi'a. The beginning of every, what's Tvi'a?
Tvi'a.
Which is?
It has to do something, so it's a chiyuv that no.
It's a claim. It's a claim. A claim. Uvereshit kol madon, beginning of every court case, yitzarech lechapes ulchazer achar dayanin. Right, yir'et tviyotav bifneihem. Right, you have to find a judge. Right, first thing you do when you have a court case is a judge. Ve'baruim kein leva'er inyana dayanim. So then you should explain judges. Va'anagadam bechol din me'adinim, and you should explain all the judgments, Hein Shel Mamonot, Hein Shel Nefashot, right? Monetary law, capital law. V'samchu aleha masechet makot, l'siba asher azkir. And then after Sanhedrin, they put makot for reasons I'll explain. Namely, v'hu shachar shutzrach leva'er, b'masechet Sanhedrin, b'inyan dinei nefashot. After Sanhedrin talked about capital punishment, eze yichaneik, who gets strangled, eze yisarev, who gets burned, eze yihareik, who gets beheaded, follow along with me. I'm making it easier. I'm reading it, but right, you can look inside. Ve'eze yisakel get stone imayonian malkot v'galut nigrar tachar gmar geder dine nefashot. So we talked about capital punishment, so we continue. We talk about non-capital punishments, right? Malkos, right? Lashes and galut, right? Exile, etc. And then if we skip down, if you go through 1, 2, 3 lines from the end, okay? You got it? Look, 3 lines from the end, 5 words from the end of the line. V'achar hishlimu. You got it in the Meiri? The first passage of Meiri. You got it? 1, 2, 3 lines or 3.5 lines from the end. V'achar. Everyone got it? V'achar hishlimu inyan hanagara dayanim v'anyanim hamusurim lahem. After it stopped dealing with judges and the things that are given over to them. Hayam mechalam oved avodah zarah. One of the things we talked about was idol worship. Kemosh nechal b'sanhedrin imshar niskalim hutzrach lahodia inyana barucha. It had to talk about its things at length. Ad shemeirov arichutam hutzrach lechaber mehim sefer. And there's so much talk about avodah zarah that we needed a separate book. Ruinyan masechet avodah zarah. Right. So again, the. Meiri, is he like Tosfot or the Rambam?
What is Tosfot?
Right, so Tosfot said that Avodah Zarah is put after Sanhedrin more by association rather than it being a continuation. What does Meiri say?
And what does Rambam say?
And the Rambam says, no, it's part of a unit, right? Meaning, you need to judge Avodah Zarah, so you need to tell me the laws of Avodah Zarah. But the problem, as we saw, is Masechta Avodah Zarah doesn't really talk about what Avodah Zarah is. It talks about all types of associated stuff.
So we are disagreeing.
What? Right, and Meiri, I think, probably also somewhat disagrees with the Rambam, right? He says, you know, once you're talking about Avodah Zarah, there's a lot to talk about, right? Not necessarily its continuation of Sanhedrin. Now, what does Avodah Zarah actually talk about? So, you could do what I just did, which is go through the Masechta and quickly skim it. Or you could always cheat and look at the Meiri, because the Meiri will just tell you everything the Masechta up front, which is what I gave you in the next one. He says, Acha Amar Menachem ben Shlomo Levit Meir. Right? So Meiri, right? Menachem lebeit Meir, right? So what does he say? So this Zora Masechta, right? Salom Masechta about the Zara. Amnami miseder nizikin v'hur galnu milimuda achar Masechta Shvuot. The Sibashir is kind of b'tichat zechibur v'kolad chamisha prakim v'zram lefi shitatenu. Said it's in Nizikin after Shvuot for reasons we've explained, and this is the order. With Neiden ein madimin kol etzlamim Rabbi Ishmael socher apol. Those are the 5 prakim. Inyana Masechta. What is the topic of the Masechta, right? So now you can cheat. I went through the topics in the Masechta. What does he say?
Damages.
He says, Kulo. Amnamu so vev livaer inyane avodah zarah. It comes to explain avodah zarah. Hayhitrachek meovdeha. What? What?
Amnam.
Amnam is however. Amnam, however, right? He was so vev. It goes around. Livaer inyana. To explain the topics of idolatry, and distancing from them for one of 2 reasons. Right? Hitrachek mehem. How to distance ourselves from idol worshippers. Does that, by the way, does that line make more sense with what we've talked about in Avodah Zarah? Or what's the first chapter of Avodah Zarah?
About, like we said before.
When we don't do business with them. So Meiri says, what's the theme of Avodah Zarah? Not idol worship, but hitrachek mehem. How to
avoid
idol worship and idolaters.
So in other words, he's comparing like in the beginning.
He is what?
He's comparing.
Yeah. This was like between 50...
No, we're already on Meiri.
Oh, we're already... Oh, me and Danny went over this.
So we're up to Meiri now.
Yeah, we did.
He said,
yes.
I know,
we
went over it.
Yeah.
I think it's even further from the Rambam.
Correct, it's further than the Rambam. What does he say the theme of Avodah Zarah is? Of the Masechta of Avodah Zarah is?
To avoid it.
Why? He said there's 2 reasons you would avoid it. One is Shelo L'Tarev, or 2 ways rather. Shelo L'Tarev Bahem, which is don't mix with them. V'Shelo L'Lechem D'Archehem, and not to follow their ways. To the point where we keep away from their actions, which is the reason for many mitzvot. Hashenit. The second thing is sheloli yotenu sibal avotam olikiu machshavotam bemunat avodat ha'elilim. Second thing is we don't want to enable idolatry. We don't want to stay away from it, and we don't want to be party to their idol worship. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was just confused because means that you're like, how do you, like when someone borrows money necessarily?
We have you're confused about how this works. We're going to get to it.
I'm not confused how it works. I'm confused how to know that they're using it.
Oh, again, that's the first paragraph. We're going to have to decide what we're actually learning in the Masechta, but that's the topics of the Gemara. Right? Right now we're just doing a bit of an overview. And then he says, right, he says, and then he says, V'altzad zeh yichalku inyanei masech l'arba chalakim, based on these two themes, meaning, how do we avoid idolatry, and how do we prevent ourselves from being ensnared in helping them in idolatry? The Masechta has four topics. Harishon v'isur masa umatan shalanu imahem b'shum mekach umem karbehem. The first is avoiding business with them. Bizman yadua, at certain times, umehem le'olam, and sometimes always, uktzat farim shasur lanu litasek bahem imahem, and things we can't do with them. Hasheni, the second topic of the Masechta, bidvarim shelahem ha'asurim lanu hein hisur gamur af bana'a hein machila levan, things that we can't benefit from them, either by eating or benefit. Or things that we need to fix, meaning like kashering, that should be shlishi, that's a typo. Hashlishi binyan atzlamin vatzirot vapartzufim asuyim lavodat elilim v'gufei avodot azarot aizit tzad nesru. The third is the physical idols. When are they prohibited for use? Right, not for worship, but for use.
Prohibited,
right? When are you, can't you use them? Not to worship, obviously you can't worship, but can't even use them. The harivii binyan isur yayin nesech, and the fourth one is their wine, Right, that's the rav. That's the Masechta. Right, you can't wine that they touch, wine they produce, you can't drink it.
Yeah,
yayin nesech. That's what he says. So he said the theme. What does Masechta Avodah Zarah actually cover? Four things. How do we not do business with them? Right. How do we avoid their foods and kosher things for them?
Idolizing.
Avoid yayin nesech and avoid
idolizing.
Idols. Not idolizing, but idols. Right? The physical idols. So now I ask you, what's the theme of Masechta Avodah Zarah? What is it?
It could be both, because you gotta know what to avoid in order to avoid.
So, but what is the theme? Right? If you look at the Meiri, the four main categories.
It's different types of Avodah Zarah.
It's not different types of Avodah Zarah. It's more than that. What is it?
Does that all fall under that category? Or could fall under that category?
The Avodah Zarah is that are
in. What did he say? Hitrachek me Avodah Zarah. What's the theme of Avodah Zarah? Not.
It's not specifically Avodah Zarah itself. It's specifically getting close to. Not yet. Something besides Avodah Zarah.
Exactly, right? It's staying away from it. Now. Yeah. So now. Remember yesterday, if you came to the Agadah Tashir, right? Remember what I said from Reb Tzadok, right? Reb Tzadok says that the point of the Agadahs in each Masechta are to shed light on the theme of the Masechta. So I said, what are the opening Agadah and Avodah Zarah about?
Laws.
No, the opening Agadah, not laws. The opening Agadah.
People who
are stories about when the Jews accepted the Torah and the non-Jews didn't. What's going to happen in the Moda Mashiach? How is God going to judge Jews and non-Jews? Good, that's the themes. But what does that tell you about the theme of the Masechta? Let's sharpen it a bit. What does that indicate? It's not just how to avoid Avodah Zarah, because that's not about avoiding Avodah Zarah. What is that Agadah saying?
No.
It's not how to be cautious. What is that?
If you say the Agadah is all about showing how Jews kept looking and not Jews didn't.
So what's the theme?
The idea that we have to avoid it.
Or, one word. What's Avodah Zarah, the Masechta, about?
Avoidance.
It's not avoidance. Because that's not avoiding. This is post facto. It's after.
What's it called? What?
Praising Jews or not?
What to do?
It's about difference.
Oh.
It's about the difference between Jews and non-Jews. Right? The theme of Masechta Avodah Zarah is, the Agadotot are, why are we different? And the laws are? How do we remain different? How do we actively differentiate ourselves?
How do we differentiate?
How we do not assimilate.
Exactly. Okay. And so if you ask me the theme of Avodah Zarah is, I think what Tosfot is getting on, it's not worship of Avodah Zarah. You look at the four things that are covered in the Masechta, we don't have food that's produced by them. We don't do business with them under certain circumstances, right? If we buy vessels from them, we have to kosher them, right?
How do we not do like them, basically?
Right. How do we maintain our distinctness and avoid assimilation into them? Masechta Avodah Zarah, I think. What?
No, we don't.
What? We'll come to I don't know if we'll come to. Maybe we'll come to the Pesach time. But anything, you're right. But it's everything. And I think that if you look through the Masechta, the four main halachic topics in it, right? Avoiding their wine and any other food and kalim from them, avoiding business with them, right? Avoiding physical idols, right? Like, and even things that used to be idols and things like that.
How?
Right?
Exactly. Was they...
And how do we do it, right? All that, the topic of Avodah Zarah, the Masechta, the theme of Masechta Avodah Zarah isn't, I think, like the Rambam says, just what is Avodah Zarah? Because that's not really what goes on in this Masechta. That's Sanhedrin. Avodah Zarah is,
why are we unique?
Why are we unique? That's the Agadah does. And the law is, how do you stay unique?
Not
right. Yes, but how do you do that? Right. The laws and
by staying the same. I mean,
but how? That's. But Avodah Zarah tells you what are the. God. It's very easy to say that big adol. Yeah. Masechta Avodah Zarah is the nitty gritty. Is the nuts and bolts. What do we do to maintain our identity?
So that's the whole thing.
And that I think is the chop of Masechta Avodah Zarah. Now that brings us. Okay, like I said, tomorrow what we're going to do is one more shiur on this topic, right? Which is, as we saw already in Sanhedrin. There are different ways to worship Avodah Zarah. So I want to talk about the difference between how Jews and non-Jews could worship Avodah Zarah and be liable, because that, I think, points to this theme. But then, we need to decide as a group what we're going to learn in the Masechta. Because
we're not going to begin in the beginning?
We can start anywhere you want. We can start anywhere
That's
you want.
Beginning.
We can start at the beginning. We could also start at the end. Look, when I learned Gittin with Rosenzweig,
yeah.
We started on Daf Tzadi. You know what Daf Tzadi is in Gittin?
Yeah.
The last Daf. Right? We start at the end. Rav Lichtenstein used to start at Daf Yud Zayin. Right? That's what he thought was the best place to start. You can start anywhere. Right? What? We can do Kalim. We can do Chol of Yisrael. We can do the beginning. We'll do some.
That's in here?
Yes, that's all in here.
I was going to start with the Zara.
Oh, good. Okay.